See, people being like, oh, AJ Styles, the best wrestler on the planet. And I'm like, he ain't really been proving that to me in the past, like, 3 years. He hasn't really done any noteworthy match that I can think of in the last 3 years that I'm like, oh, that was a match of the year. I can't even think of none of that. John Cena was the last dude I could think of that gave him, like, a match of the year match in WWE.
Nobody else can really do that, though.
Going on, man. This is Ice Nigma.
Yeah, and this is T-Nigma, and this is Enigmas Unchained.
What it do, my peoples? This is T-Nigma with Enigmas Unchained, and we are back again for night two. Night two of WrestleMania, and this is also year two for the Enigmas. Right. And I am T-Nigma, and I am with your friend's best friend, Ice. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, man. Hey, we here. We in the last
move. That's right, man. Now let's get into this bad boy. This is a longer show for some reason. Oh, God. Excuse me. Right. So what we found out, it's funny, after this show was over, was that because Cody Rhodes and them went over, they had to remove Kofi's match from night one. Because he was on social media talking about that night. So they had to pretty much squeeze him in there and embarrass my boy with a minute and 40-second match. Night two was terrible to me. I mean, I was like, that. They didn't have many things to stand out. I mean, like, Pat McAfee was a star. Just get out of the way. Pat McAfee was a star this show. Pat McAfee tore the house down, okay?
He did my clap, man.
Yeah.
He did my clap.
Yeah.
Doing backflips off the top rope.
And jumping. I mean, he was pulling Kofi's. He out here jumping from the floor to the top rope and not even needing the balance. He just jumped to the top rope and looked your boy in the face like, you thought it was done? I'm like, yeah. Go, Pat. Let's go, Pat. I was like, Pat had me standing up. I'm like, go ahead, Pat. Like RK Bro started out with like them Street Profits versus Alpha Academy mid match. Dope ending though, but a mid match.
Oh yeah.
Dope because anytime you catch a photo worthy RKO, it usually makes your time worth it. You know. So yeah, he caught that photo finish RKO, but that thing was ignorant, bro. It was great, man. Like that was, but the match was mid. It was like, eh. Then we got even more mid-match on Bobby Lashley versus Omos. And Bobby Lashley did everything he could. But Omos just ain't no good wrestler. I mean, he's too big, man. I was like, this dude, like, 7'3" or something like that. It was like, the only thing I'll give Omos is reactions, okay? Omos's reactions are his reactions are on point. His wrestling, I can't call him. But his reactions, though. His reactions are top tier. Like when Bobby Lashley did the suplex on him, if you go back and watch, right? You go back and watch when he hit the floor, Omos's face when he hit the ground. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna say it while Ice is drinking right now, so I need to wait. You know what I'm saying? It's like just waiting until you finish. Okay, I didn't want to do, I said that drink looked good. I didn't want you to mess up that drink. So he hit the ground, and the shock of him hitting the ground, he was just like, on the ground, like I can't believe this sucker got me. His reactions are on point, but his wrestling is just not there yet. So he needs more work on that, but it was a mid-match. And then we got to, I don't even know how to describe this match. Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn had one of the best builds of WrestleMania I've seen. It was funny. It was fun to watch, you know, like especially like the whole thing where he put Sami Zayn number out there. But then the fear crept in my bones because I don't like his show. I don't like Johnny Knoxville's show. I never liked Johnny Knoxville. The fear, the old fear crept in me. I'm like, they're gonna make this into the goddamn show. And I don't find any of the stuff that they do funny. Actually, I think most of the stuff on that show probably would get them stabbed where I'm from. They would have died very bad deaths, and nobody would have found their bodies if they had walked up into some establishment and slapped a black man in his balls. I don't know where that's funny at. I mean, I don't know a lot of black folk that find that funny, especially black men. I don't know a lot of black men is like, yeah, you just come in here and slap each other's balls. It's, oh, ha, 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 he got kicked in the balls. It's like,
oh, no, sir.
Now, what I'm laughing at is what's going to happen to you after this person recovers from you getting in their butt. Now, that I'm laughing at. But getting kicked in the nuts is not fun. So it's like, I guess because they think that that's something that people, I'm like, that don't make me laugh, bro. I'm not into that type of comedy. But I knew, as I said, that's probably going to be the main focus of this match. People get kicked in the nuts. And I was not disappointed in that, unfortunately. I was disappointed, but I wasn't disappointed in the fact that I was right. This match pretty much devolved into like a full-on slap your nuts fight. And Sami Zayn lost, which he should have lost, but they dropped like a fake mouse trap on him. Yeah, it didn't work, and it hit Johnny Knoxville on the way down.
Lord,
and of course they had to have the little spot. Wee Man came out. I think that's what the folks says. The thing was Wee Man. He came out and body slammed Sami Zayn. I saw people putting the Hogan and all. That was the funniest part of me.
On Twitter,
like when Wee Man slams Sami Zayn, everyone picture a Hulk Hogan slam Andre the Giant.
No.
But outside of that, this match was a bust. I was like, eh. You know, this is what Sami Zayn wants. So it is what it is, but I didn't really enjoy this match. But yeah. Yeah. Now Sasha Banks finally getting a title win and breaking the curse of WrestleMania was worth praise. She actually won her match. Her and Naomi got the tag team titles, thankfully. And they also didn't lose it the next night, thankfully. Ooh. And they also didn't lose it this week, thankfully. So we're on a roll, people. WWE has an obsession with making sure that Sasha Banks ain't the boss. But that's a whole nother situation. Edge and AJ Styles, I fell asleep during this match. I'm not ashamed.
I looked away, and then all of a sudden. And your boy come pop about the screen.
He had a dope interest.
Back to AJ.
Yeah, I mean, like talking about Damian Priest.
Mm-hmm.
Or Stripperella Martinez.
You see?
he didn't pull back from a lot of that, thankfully, though. But he still got a ways to go to get away from the Stripperella thing. So Edge had a dope entrance.
Yeah, right? He did.
His entrance was fire. I mean, and I meant that as a pun and fire. Because it was surrounded by fire. It was dope and sitting on the throne. Too bad this match was just. I see people being like, oh, AJ Styles is the best wrestler on the planet. And I'm like, he ain't really been proving it to me in the past like 3 years. He hasn't really done any noteworthy match that I can think of in the last 3 years that I'm like, oh, that was a match of the year. I can't even think of none of that. John Cena was the last dude I could think of that gave him like a match of the year match in WWE.
Nobody else can really do that though.
That's what I'm saying. That was saying, like, and then when people like start raining on a parade of like folk in WWE, like you know how they came down on Cody Rhodes versus Miz. It's like, look, the reason it's not that they hate the Miz, it's that they know what they can get out the Miz. You'll get phenomenal promos and you get all that. But when it comes to the match is going to be mid. It's going to be okay. At best, like his best is okay, and that's not no. I love the Miz's character. I think the dude is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I believe all of that. But when I want to see a wrestling match, I'm not looking for the Miz. If I'm looking for a promo, I'm looking for the Miz. Right?
There you go.
So that's like, no shade. I know his strength. I know his weaknesses. His weakness is he does not put on a match like a Kenny Omega, like a Adam Cole, Adam Page. He doesn't put on a match like Sting. He doesn't put on a match like no. He don't. I mean, like it's he just don't. He can put on. He knows how to do heel heat during a match, which is great. I said, which is good for WWE because they need heel heat mostly. But the match he had with Cody Rhodes on Monday, I was like, okay.
That man trying to preserve his body.
I can't knock that. No, I'm not shading him for that, but he has to be able to accept the consequences of that. It's like, sorry, bro, but your matches don't stack up. They're like, the build for them is fun, but the match itself is just not, it's not there. It's not what we're looking for. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Excellent work, excellent heel work, excellent promo work, excellent build work. But whenever we get to the match, I'm never really looking for anything. I'm just like, okay. No, so yeah, but AJ Styles versus Edge, man, first off, this match 25 minutes, okay? It was the longest match of the show for no reason.
So is everybody trying to do a tribute for Triple H now?
I guess, you know, have a super long WrestleMania match that meant nothing. Yeah, that sounds about right. Triple H came out one of these nights and put his boots in the ring. I think that was night one, right?
I can't remember. I know it happened.
It was night one. It was night one because Undertaker calls the Hall of Fame. Triple H put his boots down, said, "Welcome to WrestleMania." He's no longer wrestling. I'm very, very glad that he's not gone. Triple H is like as much flack as we get. Triple H is still one of the dopest wrestlers ever do it. So just gonna call a spade a spade. No, his entrance is still top five entrances of all time. Just and all he needed was light work and spit. Like you gotta like let that sink in. All right. Light work and spit was all he needed to make this dog on entrance fight. Okay, so props to the man. You know, he's given us lots of memories. He's done
man excellent. Of three H's.
And he's done many great matches, okay? That I can remember off the top of the dome. You know, I can't do that for Edge. I can't do that for AJ Styles right now in WWE.
Speaking of Edge, I just remembered something that I meant to send this to you a while back, like I think about a week or two ago.
What's up?
And it was like, it was crazy. Yeah, I think it was something that we already knew, but we just forgot about.
What's up?
Jinder Mahal's one title reign is longer than all four of Edge's put together.
No. That can't be right. No, that can't be right. That can't be right.
It can't be life, can it?
No, you know, that's not right. Okay. I can't accept that. Okay, so Jinder Mahal's one title reign is longer than all the Edge's title on title reigns.
Yeah.
Wow. Says a lot. that's messed up, man. I mean, but on the real though, I mean, like what five-star match or match that like just like outside of like him being in a tag team, what match has Edge done that like wowed us? Let's not lie on this man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of none. Even his draws with John Cena were barely decent. No, it was the character work that was more fun to watch. It wasn't the match. The match was trash. The match was booty. But his character work on the match still like the Lex Luthor.
I don't know if you can see that or not.
Yeah, Jinder Mahal single. Man, this is wrong, bro. That is wrong, man. Wow, WWE. Wow. It's like you remember when he turned the WWE Championship into the World Heavyweight Championship one night. You know what I'm saying? Like that was, and I don't think he had that title for that long. When he fought John Cena in the beginning, he only had that doggone belt for like maybe a week or two. And then he lost it. Then he like cashed in. I mean, it's messed up. All them doggone cashes, and he ain't did nothing with it. He got the title, and they couldn't keep it every single time. So I mean, that diminishes that dude's legacy. You really like sit back and think like, dang, bro, you was just trash, just stealing from people. The ultimate opportunity is usually like a rat with cheese. You know, just I'm gonna steal this dude's sock when he ain't looking. Dang, bro. And what's funny too, yo, like when they did the. After this match was done, somebody said something about Edge like being like a better version of the Brood or something like that. And like Brody King, who's a part of the House of Black, said, "No, these dudes are a Dollar General version of the House of Black." And I was like, acceptable response, because that's exactly how I felt when I looked at it. I'm like, eh. And it's like kind of going through this the mountain of omnipotence thing. I'm like, bro, just shut up. This is just bad. I was like, this is bad all around. Dope interest though. Like the interest, but outside of that, it was trash, yo.
You know it's bad when AJ fumbled over whatever this is supposed to be when they asked him about it.
Yeah. No, I'm saying AJ like
fumbled it, man. Yeah. Like, well, dang. So this isn't going to be as exciting as y'all think it's going to be.
I mean, I'm saying, like, right now, AJ Styles don't got no clout. I mean, like, you know, I'm not taking away the fact that AJ Styles is one of the best wrestlers on the planet. I'm not taking that away. But he hasn't done anything to show us that in, like, almost 2 to 3 years. Okay? Like that's my argument. It's like, this dude has not done what is necessary to put himself in a conversation to be the absolute best. They used him for Kofi. Remember when Kofi was getting over for Kofi Mania and used him there, and they made him pretty much a villain in that match because he had to beat Kofi Kingston. You know what I'm saying? Then you had the stuff happen with Omos, you know, like he lost to Omos. So and now he loses the Edge. I'm like, yo.
Omos, I can see because at least you can say. You're trying to build him up by having him be a top tier person.
Yeah.
Edge, not so much.
Yeah, I don't get the Edge joint, man. I mean, I guess we're gonna build this faction right, Edge. I'm like, y'all can grab it because I think they're rumoring Rhea Ripley is coming over. You know, like and I forgot who the other guy was, but I was like, I don't care if they win titles. Y'all have done everything in y'all power to make sure I don't care about these characters. You know, so like Rhea Ripley has been losing for like the past since she lost to Charlotte. All right, so it's like,
golly.
And she won the title, she still lost Charlotte again. So it's like she still has that albatross around her neck, but she ain't never really beat Charlotte Flair. So I'm like, look, you know, no offense, but no, you know, that's just and I said AJ has not really been that entertaining to me. I was like, we both have admitted this, most of WWE has been mad skippable for the past 2 years. Mine is like maybe 2 or 3 moments. So the character work there has just not been there. So I'm like, this match doesn't matter to me. Edge going heel just seems stupid to me. You know, like I get it. Because you need a villain, but AJ has been a villain for like the past 3 years or something like that. Like the conniving villain dude, like the fake Shawn Michaels villain dude. Because pretty much him and Omos supposed to be like, at least the storyline they were going for was Shawn Michaels and Diesel. But Omos ain't good enough to be Diesel. And AJ, no offense to him, character work-wise is not better than Shawn Michaels.
No.
Shawn Michaels is Heartbreak Kid. So it's like,
man, they were trying to recreate Shawn Michaels for the longest.
They didn't let that joint go. It's like they ain't getting another Shawn Michaels, they ain't getting another Brett, they ain't getting another John Cena. Them suckers were one and done. They ain't getting another one. You can get as many Hulk Hogan's as you want. There's like 6 of them in WWE right now. They just ain't got the juice to really be the next thing. But if they were, they'll ruin it, just like Hulk Hogan did. So it's like you can do it, but they'll do like Hulk Hogan did. They'll ruin it after a while. Backstage politicians. So it's like you want a Stone Cold Steve Austin. You want a person that like literally changed the generation. That ain't them. Guess who Stone Cold said who's the best of this generation?
Who that?
The Luffy of wrestling. Kenny by God Omega. His own mouth. Y'all can look that up. He said it. I ain't said it. He said it. Say he's possibly the best wrestler on the planet, Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, Stone Cold sign off on a dude they ain't never going to WWE. Let that sink in. I said, this match was 25 minutes. It should have been 15. Should have been 11. Because once again, Kofi and the New Day suffered again because they had this freaking long drawn out match. They had a minute and 40 second squash match that literally embarrassed the New Day. I mean, it embarrassed them. I was like, I wouldn't even want to be associated with this match. I mean, they had Big E clothes on. I was like, how dare you wear Big E stuff like this and get beat up by the dude that broke his neck? That don't make no sense to me. I would have dropped character.
You stupid. Man, listen, I had a Brock Ricochet moment with that one because I sure did like look away for like a minute and like for like a few seconds and come back and oh yeah, ding, ding.
Yeah, I mean, like on a real bro, I was on Twitter at Enigmas UNC, by the way, on Twitter. I was on you know, just having some fun banter with a couple people and looked up and the match was over. I was like, wait. I mean, all I saw was a, yeah, they're paying tribute to Big E with their claw. I'm like, okay, that's what's up. That's dope. You know what I'm saying? I looked down and I heard ding, ding. And I'm like, oh, you know, I got like at least a minute or two before I can like really get into, you know, before we get into the heat of this match. They didn't even last a minute or two. They just whooped their behinds. I was like, huh.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? The last thing I remember, Xavier had took the straps down. Like he did. And that was it.
Yeah. I don't even remember how this match ended. I just know it was over. And I dare not go back and watch because I didn't want to get angry. So I just looked at the clock. I was like, that was like 2 minutes. And just, I was like, you know what? I was like, nope.
It was a bro kick. I think it was a bro kick. Was it a bro kick or Sheamus like tripped him up or hit him or something?
Look, Sheamus got his check. I ain't mad at that man. He always get his WrestleMania check. I can't knock that dude. That dude always, he was like, if I'm gonna be a WrestleMania 4 minutes, I'm getting my check. 18 seconds, I'm gonna get my check. I don't care. He makes stars or he tears them up. I don't know. But yeah, the next match was Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory, yes, which was a dope match. Like I said, because Pat was the star of this night. He had the best match of this night, at least to me. The best match of night two was Pat McAfee, bro. Because Austin Theory got something. He's in his new character. I saw that joint this morning, man. I was like, so you're just Theory. Great. Great WWE. So yeah, like, but he like, you know, Pat McAfee did his thing. I mean, he tore the house. He had the folk. And then they messes up by giving him the dun, 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 song. Dun, 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 dun. As my head's going to, oh, bask in his glory. Oh, bask in his glory. I'm thinking about Keith Lee, you know what I'm saying, with the joint. But I was like, dang, man. But he, I thought he did good. I thought he did good. I mean, he was, he did just what he needed to do to get the crowd attached to it. Everything, character work, everything that he was supposed to do to make this thing work, he did it. And then he messed up. He won and called in Mr. McMahon. This was a terrible move. Mr. McMahon literally, it was like watching an adult play with a child. With Mr. McMahon, you know, like when kids, like when people want to like have the kids get their confidence up and they like throw themselves around the kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what happened with Mr. McMahon versus Pat McAfee. He held his arm out and Pat McAfee just ran to his arm. And I was like, huh. Then he pinned him. Whoever booked that part of the show needs to be fired.
No, they're not gonna get fired because Vince won.
Yeah,
I'm like I was seriously disappointed with that. Like maybe like he could, I would have did the ending of that match different. I would have been like, I would have at least had Vince, you know, knock Austin upside the head a little bit, you know, yeah, chewing him out, yeah, losing the match. But they would be on their way to the back. I would not give Vince a match. Vince does not need a match. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Then he gave us the botched stunner. But, like, that whole little segment, y'all could have left that on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, facts. I agree.
Y'all could have, get matter of fact, y'all could have gave that to New Day.
Yep. I mean, like, they could have done the whole thing where there was, like, teasing to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then glass breaks before a match even starts. They could have done that. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you know, it's like, oh, he got his shirt off. He ready to go. Then, and it's ready to go, right? But still, I still enjoyed that last stunner, though. That was hilarious.
I was like, I can't believe he botched this.
Bro, I'm sorry. That joint was funny. It was funny. Like there's no other way really to cut that other than the fact that it was hilarious. So that was a I'm actually kind of glad we got that gift. We'll keep it at 100 with you, man. I'm actually kind of glad we got like Stone Cold. He was laughing his behind off. He was spitting beer out. He was laughing so hard. So I was like, if he ain't mad, that's the very last. Well, Pat McAfee is the very last stunner he'll ever do. And Pat honored that by laying on the ground drinking a beer. That turned into my favorite one. So Stone Cold got his final moment. Pat McAfee literally sipping beer. You know, it looked like he was almost sipping out a straw. He was so.
Where?
Do I have it on my phone now?
Do I have it?
Let me see. Nope. I don't have it. Dang. I thought I had to join my phone, man. It's like I was like, yo, this thing that I cracked up. That was the best part of that night to me. It was like he was laying on the ground and the beer pouring out his mouth while he's trying to drink it. I was like, that seems about right.
Oh, man.
But it was dope. I mean, he was the best one because like Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar ain't even worth talking about. I was like,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, we kind of already knew what was going to happen. Though.
Oh yeah, facts. You know, we already knew Tribal Chief was going to come out of that bad boy on top. We already knew that. So it didn't really make sense. I was like, they're not going to have like no 20-minute match, no stellar match. It's not WWE style. It's not Roman Reigns style. It was going to be a bunch like dudes just punching each other until somebody fell over. They did that, you know, wrong one. Whoop-de-doo. So, yeah. Yeah, so then Raw after WrestleMania, you know, Cody Rhodes came out there crying like he usually did in AEW in his promos and said that he won't be WWE champion. That's actually what happened. I mean, it's like all the way really cut that. It's this exact way it happened. So, that... see, SmackDown, you know, Roman told folk that they need to win their matches. You better unify these championships. And that's pretty much it. Like, if you don't unify these championships, you need to reevaluate being part of the bloodline. That was the whole thing. So, Ronda challenged Charlotte to a I Quit match, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's challenged to a I Quit match. What else happened?
That was it. No. But we know it's going
to
happen.
Yep, we know it's going to happen. She's going to have to take it because she ain't got no other choice. Yeah. So that happened. See what? Oh, yeah. Sonya Deville, for some reason, continues to target Black women.
Because she's... Oh, goodness.
Why is she always going after Black women, man?
Because she's low key, you know, saying, a little nervous, you know. Like
she like feels unsafe in her working environment. That's what it sounded like to me. You know what I'm saying? It sounded like that age-old adage. Cause I was like, wait a minute now. Sonya Deville, all right, Naomi. I was like just doing a track break. I'm like, all right, tell the tape real quick. I'm like, Naomi. She booked Naomi for like what, 5 months?
I'm about to say that went on longer than what it should have.
Yeah, you know, like even like went after Sasha because Sasha was like, why you keep bothering Naomi? Right? So this Black woman number two. Now she coming after our little sister Bianca. All right, look now. Look, Sonya. You need to remember. We got our eyes on you. Okay. These niggas got their eyes on you. And we ain't the only ones. We all like, why in the world she always keep going in other? Why ain't she never had this much heat for Charlotte?
No, Charlotte a buddy now. She the one that reinstated Charlotte.
That is right. Yeah, I was saying like none of this stuff really made sense to me. I was like, okay, all right, whatever. And then yesterday on Raw, the Uso showed up. And it was like, yo, look, you know, it's time for us, you know, to get these titles, you know. So they scrapped with Street Profits, beat Street Profits, and then laid cats out at the end of the show. So I was like, okay, you know, like I said, like Bianca got attacked by Sonya, of course. Cody beat Miz in a 6 out of 10 match. So the so I mean, I was like, that's like no shade, and just that's the best that homeboy can do. that's just the best he can do, man. I'm trying not to be mean about this, okay? I'm just saying, like, your boy does not have the juice to carry a match to make it into something that, like, people will always talk about. The moment, maybe. For the match, I ain't seen a minute. And that thing is what Daniel Bryan was trying to say to him. You know, and they had that. I mean, even though, like, once again, the promo work was phenomenal. I mean, but what Daniel Bryan was saying to him at that time, now Bryan Danielson, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bro, your matches don't feel real. Mm-mm. Just don't. I mean, I was like, they just don't feel real. And I said, and once again, sensitive people gonna have shade, right? If I go out there and dance, I'm not a great dancer, right? If somebody says, Trevor, you are a mid dancer, I'm like, you are absolutely right. But I could talk you into the dance. I'm 10 on that. So I mean, I accept that. I'm like, that's perfectly fine with me. I mean, like, and I can have accolades, stuff like that, but I would never claim to be somebody like a Chris Brown or Usher or Michael Jackson on a dance floor. After you've seen those, you know your limits, you know. So and I think that's fair to accept the fact that you understand your limitations. That's perfectly fine. But don't act like you ain't got no limitations. Even if you a heel, you ain't got to act like you're like, oh, we know that. That's because y'all hate. No, it's because we tell you the truth. Sucker, you ain't that great of a wrestler. Now, once again, it doesn't make you a bad wrestler, but we've seen too many great wrestlers. You know, it's like we've seen way too many. So it's like I've seen too many to look at you now and be like, oh, yeah. That's like if there was never Michael Jordan or a Kobe, God rest his soul, Braun wouldn't have no issues.
No,
because then he would just be the man of the hour because he's on his own metrics. But because we got Jordan and because we got Kobe, when you look at his accolades, how long it took for him to get them, we're like, Jordan did this in half the time, half the years. I mean, your boy wasn't playing NBA at 18 years old, he went through college.
Right.
By the time he had 32, he had done everything.
Now saying you let, you know, so, you know, the media and everybody hype you up.
Yeah, I mean, like, once again, it's not to diminish you. It's to tell you the truth. You can be the king of this era. That's all you got to say. I'm the king of this era. To call yourself the king is wrong.
No,
it's like you're not.
I hated that nickname on site. Was like, what is this?
What are you trying to say? Yeah, that's what I was like. What are you trying to say?
Know what I'm saying? Like my, and then look, you know what I'm saying? Like his tale is telling the tape. He carried the Cavaliers, like that year they made it to the championship. And then went against San Antonio, carried the team on his back.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Tim Duncan washed them dudes.
Washed them. And Duncan is one of the most humble cats, but I would put Tim Duncan over almost everybody in the league. That sucker was dangerous. That dude was a danger. And it was crazy. Like, nobody ever talked about him until you see him in the finals again. You're like, how you still here? You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron is going to dominate it all. And then here was Tim Duncan. And he's just sitting there like this, right to my.
Oh, he was a chill.
Stoic-faced, knocking everybody off. The silent assassin. The giant assassin. Silent giant assassin. Just knocking suckers off. But it was, Duncan was a beast with it. So
I hated when Miami beat them that first time.
Yeah,
because to me, in my honest opinion, that shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
That happened.
I agree with you, bro.
But Ray Allen hit the three. You know what I'm saying? They edged him out. So give respect what respect to do.
Yep.
Ray Allen didn't come back after that. So hey.
Yeah. No, I'm saying like, and it was one of them joints like for the Miz, like far as like heel work. That dude is as S tier, okay?
Oh yeah.
I'm never gonna take that as a heel. That sucker is an S. As a wrestler, he like C minus D plus. You know, so you just have to balance the two out. You know what I'm saying? Like they add those two together, divided by two, and that's what you get for the mirror. So, you know, just saying, it's in the math. The math don't lie. The numbers don't lie. Okay. Right. He has a 3/5 chance of beating, you know what I'm saying, Cody Rhodes. But then I have an 8/5 chance of being right about this situation. And that means that I have 114% chance of being right. The numbers don't lie. An old to Scott Steiner.
Oh, goodness.
One of the best promos ever done. So yeah. We got Wheeler Yuta. Just go back to AEW real quick. We're done with WrestleMania, we're done with the Raw after Mania, we're done with the SmackDown after Mania. So AEW pretty much been setting up this thing with the Blackpool Combat Club, BCC, yep. Right? Bryan Danielson, John Moxley, and your man, the Lord William Regal. I was so happy when I saw that man. I was so glad they didn't like let him go on the wayside. That dude know how to tell a story because they've aced it with this thing. So Wheeler Yuta was with the Best Friends. He was on the laughing joke. Like if you watch Being the Elite, there was always a joke about him always losing the matches and then him getting beat up by the Best Friends backstage because he kept losing matches.
What?
I'm not lying to you. Like you can go back and watch Being the Elite. Like Statlander would normally just beat him up because he lose a match.
What the heck?
You know, so he went from the Best Friend to like just being like, you know what, this ain't enough. You know, him having to make a choice. You know, he get busted up and beat up by John Moxley. And then Bryan Danielson name drops him and like, why don't we take these younger cats like Wheeler Yuta and Lee Moriarty and mold them into being the next great wrestlers, right? Lee Moriarty took exception to that first. I thought it was pretty dope. Now, I wanted him to keep coming at him, but Lee, I think, would do better work at Ring of Honor right now. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing him in the BCC. But Wheeler Yuta just made more sense to me, though. I was like, the tenacity of it. I mean, even like in the matches that he lost, the age old adage in the Black community, okay? He had heart, though. He had heart, though. Like, he lost. He got behind with me. He got heart, though. And those characters normally resonate more in our community. I don't know why. Like Vegeta. Vegeta is probably more liked in the Black community because he talked trash and he got heart. They're like, well, he got heart, though. And I'm like, yeah, that's facts. You know, he does have heart. Like, and that's why I love that dude, because he don't ever give up. He's like, I don't care. I'm going to whoop your behind. He's like, Vegeta's not beating this dude. We all know this, okay? We know this before he jumps into the ring and Vegeta's going to need help. But just the fact that we know that he believes that he can beat this dude is enough for us. So, you know, Wheeler Yuta just like getting back in the ring. He went with John Moss first time. He got his behind washed. My goodness, he got washed. I was like, oh my God. Second match wasn't as bad. And I was like, second match, I was like, he hung in there for like 13, 14 minutes. Okay, all right. We doing something right, you know? So he hung in there and he lost still. And then that was when you could see the hunger, like the same tenacity you see in Bryan Danielson and John Moxley began to wake up in him. And that's when like Daniel Bryan Danielson went to the back and he was talking to somebody. And I think it was what's your boy that Trip Beretta? Well, I don't know what they call him now. But Trip Beretta. Trip Beretta, right? So Beretta's just a dope last name to have. I mean, you should have a Glock, something like that in your interest. So I don't know. But I pulled out my Beretta. Okay, we ain't gonna get in there right now, so I can't let it. So you know, he was talking to Beretta and Bryan was like, look, man, he wants to fight us. I let him fight. Let's go. And he was like, look, I know your mind games, I know what you're trying to do, my friend. And he's like, he's not gonna fall for this. And that's when Wheeler Yuta said, I don't want to be a best friend. I want to be the best wrestler. And I was like, yo, that's a but them bars right there. I was like, that is bars. He was like, I don't want to be a best friend. I want to be the best wrestler. And I was like, this boy got something right now. I was like, okay. So then we got the third match. Oh no, he fought Bryan Danielson. He tore his behind. Script match though. He tore his behind up. I mean, like Bryan Danielson is like literally outside of Kenny Omega. That dude to me is like the Zorro wrestler. Okay. That dude don't know where he be going, but he go places. And when he there, he fire. You know what I'm saying? Man. Like that. And he can use whatever sword he wants to whoop your behind. He's like, I'll pull out a sword that I don't even know. Just hand it to me. And I will whoop your behind with it. The boys is good with it, right? So he just beat the dude, flexed on him, 1, 2, 3, while he was beating him. You know what I'm saying? Like, is he embarrassed people, man? I was like, dang, man, Brian be embarrassed. It'd be a dope match. But you gonna want to fight him again. This ain't it. Like, this dude that embarrassed me and my whole family. Like, me fighting this man, man. You know what I'm saying?
Flexed on me as he was pinning me. What?
Why he choking me out? Why he choking me out? He flexing on me.
No.
It's so disrespectful. I love it. Love it. He lost to Brian Danielson. And then all of a sudden we get this next man. No, William Regal come out and slap the fire out this boy. Lord have mercy. He held his hand out for a shake. And William Regal slapped that dude so hard, I felt it. I mean, I felt my mouth get stung. I was like, oh my goodness, oh Lord.
My tongue dropped. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, he slapped the taste out that boy's mouth. So you know, we get this match with him and you know, he goes, wins the Pure Championship, done Ring of Honor, Pure Wrestling Championship. And that was on Ranked Supercard of Honor. Then the next week, we get Willa Yuta versus John Moxley 3. Look here. If you ain't seen this match, you need to go back and watch it. This was like 9 minutes. It was not a long match. This is a star-making match. Like, this was one of the matches that, like, you look back, you like, yeah, that boy gonna be a star. Willa Yuta got busted open before they even got in the ring. He broke that dude. Threw him in the ring, kept breaking that dude. Willa came back, kept fighting this dude through blood and war. He fought this dude so much so, Jeremiah said, I need to get this early. So he hit with a paradigm shift. Got a 2 count. Jeremiah said, what the? You know, only one of them took him out the past 2 matches. So he's like, what the world going on? So he beats him on some more, and he gives that boy the Death Rider. Now, the Death Rider is dope. All right, first of all, this is a dope name for a finisher move. It's the double underarm elevated DDT, like where he throws you in the air like you're in a vertical suplex. And he drops you in the head on your head with a double arm attachment. It's so gangster. And I was like, this is it. He kicked out. And I was like, okay, what the world? And then the jump, I just said, like, get this. He went back to the streets and he just choked that boy out. Like, I'm just gonna choke this boy out. Forget this. I'm gonna choke this boy out today. He's got behind him, just choked him. He was like, forget this. I'm just gonna go take the go to sleep. Choke that. Stop fighting me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and when he won, the beautiful part of this match is that when Willa Yuta did not get back up, John Moxley did the reaction as if he got a 2 count after he won. The spook look. He backed into the corner and he looked at your boy like, what in the world just got into him? And that was the thing that William Regal and them was like, that's my man right there. That's a member of the BCC. He shook his hand and Willa Yuta wrote BCC in his own blood on his chest. That sucker is in there. All right. Now, what a lot of folk don't know about Willa Yuta, the boy has had dope characters before. Okay. Now, the problem was, at least the big problem I saw, was that, you know, going into other federations, people stole his gimmicks. Like, Mustafa Ali stole his gimmick. The whole thing about the light. Guess who had that first? Willa Yuta. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, so because homeboy took that to the TV, he couldn't do it no more.
Yeah.
No, oh, you copying Mustafa Ali. That's the most dumb old only WWE fan. WWE only people piss me off. So I'm like, how the world you gonna be a wrestling fan? I don't watch WWE. That just don't make sense to me. I'm like, where's the sense in that?
You're not a wrestling fan. You're a WWE fan.
You're a WWE fan. It's a difference. It's a major difference between the two. Like, the WWE fans don't even understand storylines. They ain't been fed one in like what since Daniel Bryan. Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston's the last one y'all had, and that was how many years ago? Like 5 years ago now. 4 years ago, I mean, that was a while ago. Y'all ain't really had no storyline. If you want to call Bianca versus Becky Lynch a storyline, have fun with that. I'm not gonna call that a storyline. So, you know, it's just so much that just happened, you know, because it needed to happen, I guess, but it wasn't really a match I mean, a build, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? It was conveniently placed there for that particular point in time. But 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't have done it. They're done with somebody else. So yeah, so I don't really consider that a storyline. So yeah, like Julia Hart has more character development than most women on Dog on WWE. Julia Hart has been poisoned by the House of Black. He spat black mist in her face. Her left eye has been infected, right? And she's been wearing an eye patch this whole time. And this is something that is like very subtle. And people ain't been paying attention to it because it flies under the radar. Because every single week you can see the corruption spreading. So much so now that under the eye patch, it drips black.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? The she starts cheating now. She's fighting dirtier now. Little old clean old Julia Hart now. Clean girl. You know? She out here cheating and more aggressive. She's fighting Sheeta now. This just happened last week. She's fighting Sheeta. And she's cheating. The varsity, I forgot the name. But the forgettable varsity dudes, them dudes. You know, like this is not what we do. You know, they're mad at Julie because Julie was cheating. And she was like, I don't care. Varsity Blondes, that's the name. Mm-hmm. Your heart sent, and I'm going to read this right here. Heart sending the Varsity Blondes to the back was the latest hint in her turn towards the dark side. This is like from Bleacher Report. The black makeup peeking out from her eye patch, further hinting at her descent and potential association to the House of Black. Very, very subtle. Slow burn. First female to be on their team will be Julia Hart. She gonna turn to the House of Black. You know, because like homeboy already said, he already told y'all, House of Black, what? They always what? They always win. So I was like, he marked her. She's been marked. You know, like, and I like the fact that like she's been marked and the corruption slowly takes her over. It wasn't like an immediate flip, but you can see every week she's lost a smile. Every single week, you can see a force and a smile on her face to try to stay in her character, but she hates her character now. She hates it. And you can tell that she hates it. Like she's like her descent into madness is slowly happening. You know, so I was like, I can dig this. That's good storytelling right there. When you give us, you don't have to be like the commentator. I'm like, oh my goodness, you said a black goop running from out of her eye. Maybe that's because she's in the House of Black. You know, like Michael Cole be doing. Oh my. Look at this development we have here, people. Oh my goodness, I can't believe that they just did that. This is exactly what it did. Let me get this book out to read you exactly every step of what happened. Page number one by Michael Cole. You know, yeah. So I'm just saying, man. That's how it happened, though. I'm like, bro, you need to shut up and just let this thing, let the fans do the work. Y'all supposed to just be calling a match. It's not your job to tell me what's going on in the book or what I'm watching. You know what I'm saying? It's your job just to do your part, play your part, and do it well. You know, so yeah, but Sheeta and Deeb ain't finished yet. That's a beef I need to see keep going. They ain't finished. You know, so yeah, but it's more fun. Then like also the AAA titles, Ring of Honor titles were on for grab. Young Bucks versus FTR 2, right? Yep. Young Bucks won the first one. FTR won this one, and I would probably say like the Briscoes probably Briscoe versus FTR is probably the best match of the WrestleMania weekend. All right, this right here is by like probably number two. So I was like FTR, you guys give a round of applause for FTR. They have earned their Enigmas of the Month like situation. Them country boys doing us proud, man. They went out there and tore the house down. It's crazy. They did this with a tag team match. WWE would dream to have a tag team match this good where people don't even care about singles matches. They would dream of that, man. Like just having this type of reaction to a tag team match. That is amazing. Like you could just have the main event be a tag team match and it was just as good as a singles match.
Right.
Yeah. Not like a, oh my goodness, they just came out and jumped such and such. Oh, here comes such and such. He's coming to save him. All right, guys, I'm tired of you guys fighting like this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a tag team match between you two, and we're going to sell it all. That's pretty much how all the tag team stuff in WWE happened. In that same manner, somebody comes out, they do a regular singles match, somebody get jumped, and then all of a sudden another person comes out and starts jumping the jumpers, and then we get a tag team match or a six-man tag. That's how they treat tag team titles. It's like,
That sounds exactly like a WWE match.
That is a WWE situation. I just explained it verbatim. Like, that's their rubric. Their rubric for, like, making a beef for tag teams is starting out as a single, having some random person come out and help the guy. That's how RK-Bro started. Is having some random guy start out in the beginning just attacking somebody, and then this other random guy comes out and helps the person that was getting jumped, and then they become a tag team. They're like, well, they look goofy together. Let's keep them as a tag team. And they go from there. That's really their whole metric on building tag teams right now. Then you have real ones like, you know, Street Profits and Usos and New Day. They're like actually tag teams, but because of the way that they treat their tag team division, don't really matter. You know, it's a New Day were the only ones I would probably say in the past decade that really, really got to push that limit on six-man tag and tag team, right? But because of their character work, it still wasn't taken serious because they weren't serious. So it was like, it didn't really matter. Then you turn around and look at AEW, right? Their tag team division from jump was the main thing.
Oh, man.
Because they understood, you know, like you got all these doggone people. One-on-one matches, you got like 50 people on a roster. You come out better with tag teams. Get folk together, let them come up together. Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page still had one of the best title matches I ever seen for a tag team title match. And they were both like in a lull, just going through the motion, but both of them were building their characters, right? To break apart and do the thing. But that wasn't the MO of AEW. They still had both much of the other people, like as tag teams at times, still doing their character work. So I would say it's a weird place that they kind of put themselves in, that where they kind of shut out, you know, they shut out tag team wrestling pretty much. It's like just a gimmick. Oh, this is a gimmick. We'll do it once in a while. Versus it being like a serious thing for their business. So, yeah, but that's all. I mean, that's it for that. I mean, that's all of wrestling that we can think of, at least for right now, unless you got something else you want to add in there. I think that was all of them.
I think we covered all the bases.
Yeah, like tonight is NXT, tomorrow is Dynamite. Samoa Joe busted up Max Caster, and then Millie Raw. What he did?
Man,
he had to dance with that dude in the middle of the ring. Man, I said, "Dang, Samoa is the king." But that dude, he's like, I said, he was vibing to the boys' rap too. He's like, "That ain't bad." Whole time, home with Disney, he's like, "That ain't bad at all." Like he was like, "That ain't bad." You know, got in the ring, he headbutted him. I was like, "That's perfect response." I was like, "What's the bell rung?" He headbutted that dude. And the rest is history.
Well, he got his bell rung.
Yeah, and I was like, and then he did the muscle buster, which was banned in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, because of that freak accident.
Yeah, it was a freak accident. I mean, like, I can't blame that on Joe. Because if you want to ban something, ban the Styles Clash. AJ and Dane, they killed multiple people with Styles Clash. He's too short to be doing it.
Shoot, what's the fool name? The one that was with Carmella.
Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was about to get himself killed if it wasn't for AJ.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, like that move dangerous, bro. I mean, like that's a, you know what I mean, because like you're relying on that person's height and arm strength to like get in between your legs before you drop. And I've seen AJ botch that doggone move far more times than WWE, and I've seen Samoa Joe botch a muscle buster. So I was like, is it because it's AJ Styles? Y'all won't ban his move? Phenomenal forearm to me was enough. You know, but the Styles Clash is freaking dangerous. I was like, bro, I need to throw this thing away. It's crazy. Michelle McCool did it better than him. That's scary. Faith Breaker, I think is what she called it, Faith Breaker. You know, it's the same move. She never messed it up. You know what I'm saying? But also she's tall. So she's taller than most women. So AJ is half the size of most dudes he's fighting. So I was like, you need to let this move go. You ain't gonna be doing that no dog on Bobby Lashley.
Oh God, no, man!
You know what I'm saying? It's like you ain't doing this to the Almighty. You know what I'm saying? Like throw this move away. Oh yeah, this is a problem, right? It's like just throw this move away. So phenomenal forearm is where it's at. Use a Pele and phenomenal forearm. Throw away the Styles Clash. But yeah, like I think that move is actually, I actually believe that move is dangerous. I'm just being real about the situation. I'm like, this freaking move hurt people. Yeah, I mean, so you go back to his impact days. Whew, look at how many times he bought Styles Clash there, bro. It is terrifying to watch. I was like, bro, this I ain't never seen some more Joe Bosch doggone muscle buster power on muscle buster not once except for Tyson Kidd. That's it. And he did it right. It's just Tyson Kidd's neck wasn't ready. Like his neck was already weak from other stuff too. So yeah, so it was just like the final straw for the most part for his body. But that's not no shade to him. Tyson Kidd was a phenomenal wrestler, man. It's a doggone shame that happened to him because that dude was great, man. So yeah, but that's a whole nother topic for another day. But until then.
Of course.
What do you need to do?
Hey, wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Solve those enigmas. Don't leave them unsolved. Keep yourself 6 feet away. Wash your hands. And if you're sneezing, you better pull a vampire on me, okay? I need you to do the blah. I need your whole elbow up, boy. Need your whole elbow up, boy. Because I swear if you ain't, man, I'm like, nah, bro, this conversation, this whole situation with you is over. We don't even look at folk the same. They don't cover their mouth up now when they sneeze. We like, you mother. I actually am okay with that. You know what I'm saying? It's flat out disrespectful just be sneezing in the open. If you got the flu and you sneezing, you didn't forget Corona. Let's just take COVID out the thing. You got a cold, or you got like you got a cold or a flu or something like that, and you sneezing in the air without covering your mouth up, you endangering everybody around you. So yeah, sucker, I need you to do the vampire. Do the vampire and wash your filthy hands. And wash your elbows too. Wash all that. Wash the whole arm. That whole arm need to be in the soap. All of it.
Yeah, man. Sanitize the dick, man.
God dang right. Let's get to that, man. You know what I'm saying? But we will definitely be back. I mean, like this was like us just coming back, getting everything back together. Thank you for being patient with us. Like I said, it's very much appreciated. We appreciate everybody that's listening to us all across the world. Thank you for United States of America, the Netherlands, Japan, Germany, UK, Ireland, all y'all cats, man. You know, New Zealand I saw was another one. I think the newest one was, where was it? It was in the East, Eastern Europe. I think it was Lithuania. Lithuania, I think, yeah, I was like, yo, word, props, thank you. So, hey, keep riding with the enigmas. We gonna keep going. Until then, solve those enigmas. Y'all leave them unsolved. Do the vampire, put the elbow up, all right? Do the blah and wash the hands.
Oh goodness. That's right, man.
All right. Top guys out.